This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Navigating Adult ADHD. Today's topic is one that I think is very important and not talked about enough when we discuss ADHD. And that is serotonin. So we hear a lot about dopamine as it relates to ADHD, and we know that those of us with ADHD have less dopamine. However, we also have less serotonin, and that plays a very important role in mood, sleep, cognition, and memory. Okay. So what that basically means is that serotonin, it can impact how we feel, how we sleep, how our brain functions, and what information we hold onto or in many cases forget. So us ADHDers, we have less serotonin. That is a neurotransmitter, and much like dopamine, okay, we have less of it. And that therefore contributes to our ADHD symptoms and also how severe they can be at a given time. So, as I said before, there is a lot of focus around dopamine for us ADHDers, and we've got many podcasts here that I talk about that and, you know, the role that dopamine plays, how it works in our system, which is very important, I believe, to understand, because once we understand that, we see how there are so many things that we do that can increase that and also increase the level that we have in our system over time. Okay, so we've got lots of focus on that here already. However, it's also important to discuss serotonin, especially for those of us who can experience symptoms or challenges that include mood, sleep, or memory. Okay, that's me. I do experience challenges around all three of those at times. So let's start with what are signs of low serotonin levels. First off, sleep problems. So serotonin stimulates the area of the brain that controls our sleep and wake behavior. So if you have trouble getting to sleep or staying asleep, or maybe you wake up at 3:30 a.m. thinking that, oh, I've slept and it's time to get up and do the day, and then realize that it's 3:30 a.m. that was me just the other day, then this could be related to having less serotonin. Also, signs of low serotonin, digestive problems. Now, here's something incredibly interesting and very good to know, my friends. 90 to 95% of our body's serotonin is produced in the gut. So that means that gut health is pretty important where serotonin is concerned. Other signs of low serotonin levels include phobias, depression, anxiety disorders, and suicidal thoughts or behaviors. By increasing serotonin, we can also reduce feelings of depression and anxiety. So if you take an SSRI, that stands for selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, that is a type of antidepressant, okay? And that medication works to keep serotonin circulating in the brain for longer periods of time. So ultimately, what it's doing is helping to reduce your feelings of anxiety and depression. So in terms of causes of low serotonin, there can be genetic factors in there. Chronic stress is a big one. If you experience chronic stress, and so many of us ADHDers, we live in, or we have lived in, a state of constant fight or flight for much of our lives. And when we look into all of the research behind our ADHD, especially if we're later diagnosed in life and all of that, and the kind of standards that we are held to in society without realizing the differences we have. So much of that, you know, survival mechanism that we use to stay alive and function, being in that state of survival, which is fight or flight, it makes sense. Okay, it makes sense that we've experienced that. So chronic stress can be a big cause of low serotonin levels. And once we know that, if that's something that you're experiencing, we can work with that. Okay. Other causes of low serotonin are any age-related health challenges and brain changes. So for example, that could be dementia or, you know, something along those lines. A lack of exposure to natural light. I found this one very interesting in doing my research. I did not realize a lack of exposure to natural light was a cause of low serotonin, but then when you think about it, that makes so much sense, because I, you know, lived in London for a period of time, and when you have less daylight, so I would travel to work, I'd leave home, say 7:30 in the morning, I'd get to work, I'd be in my office cubicle, and I was fortunate to have a window, and I would watch the sun rise somewhere between sort of 9 to 10 a.m. the sun would rise, and then again when I'm sitting in my office cubicle, the sun would set at 4 o'clock and it would be pitch black by the time I left the office to catch the tube home. Pitch black. So that makes a lot of sense in how so many people experience SADS, seasonal affective disorder, during the winter months or the months where there's, you know, less natural light as well. So other causes of less serotonin are lack of physical activity, chronic pain, and also a vitamin B12 deficiency. And as we know, having ADHD also means that we have less serotonin, okay? So one of the key questions that I get, and I have had myself in the past, is can you change the level of the neurotransmitters in your brain? So that's, you know, levels of dopamine, levels of serotonin in this case. And the answer to that question is yes. We can. We can change the amount of serotonin and dopamine that we have in our system and that we produce. Okay? Yes, we can. And we can do that through simple and small lifestyle changes. We can literally change the level of serotonin that our brain produces and also the speed at which it's absorbed into our nerve cells, into our system, basically. So everything I'm going to share with you here, it not only does it help you to produce more serotonin, but it also supports the production of other neurotransmitters. For example, dopamine, which is one that we all know about and love to have. Okay. So through doing the five things that I am going to share with you here, through making these part of your life, okay, we can improve our mood. We can improve how we feel. We can reduce the feelings of anxiety and depression that we may experience. We can improve our sleep and increase our motivation whilst improving our memory. Now, who does not want that? Because I sure as hell do. And my guess is that you do too, because you're here and you're listening to this podcast. So let's dive in. Here are the five simple ways to help increase serotonin, proven by science. Okay. Number one, healthy eating. Okay. Listen, I hear some of you going, ugh, eye roll. I know, right? We get this advice all the time. But I want you to stay with me for a minute and think about, have you ever watched a documentary like the McDonald's documentary? I think it was called Supersize Me, where, and I may have the details wrong here, but something along the lines of this guy eating McDonald's every day for a month, and he has to upsize it to the supersize every time they ask. And it kind of gets into detail about how he feels and how, you know, how gross it is for his body, basically. There's also another film, and you know, there's loads of these kind of documentaries, but there's one that's forever etched in my mind, and it's called That Sugar Film. I think it was an Australian guy that produced that or did that, where the filmmaker, he had been sugar-free for a number of years, and then he'd actually healed himself of a lot of different things, and he set out to demonstrate the effects of sugar on the body by running this experiment and recording it and publicly sharing it. And he was eating the average amount that most people consume of sugar per day, which is, I think, 40 teaspoons. And in the process, he put on about 20 pounds. He did this, I think, for 2 months. Yeah, 20 pounds. He developed fatty liver disease. He lost like all of his drive and motivation. He had skin issues, all sorts of different things. And he was doing all these different health scans and being monitored and so forth. And in the process, he really demonstrated a variety of ways that sugar can impact our mental and physical health. Now, even if you haven't watched those kinds of documentaries around food and how food can impact us, you know, we have all eaten something sometime that just did not agree with us. And we have seen firsthand the effect that food can have on our body. Okay, so let's bring it back to serotonin and how we can help our bodies to produce more of it using healthy eating. So there are foods rich in something called L-tryptophan, okay? And it's generally foods that are high in protein. So protein foods that can contain essential amino acids have been shown to boost levels of this tryptophan. And that tryptophan is basically a building block that we need for serotonin, okay? And it is foods like eggs or fish or soybeans or cheese and seeds and chicken and meat and milk, things like that. Okay, you can literally Google a big list. And if you are interested in how your diet can negatively impact and also positively improve your ADHD, then I highly recommend the book called Healing ADD by Dr. Daniel Amen. I got that book last year, 2023, and I've worked my way through it, and I have trialed a variety of different things that he recommends in there and had a very positive experience. And I have also put a few clients onto that and encouraged them to follow some of the sort of food-related things that he suggests trying in there, and it has had a very positive effect on their ADHD and the symptoms and their mood and all sorts of things. And one of the reasons for that is because it helps to produce serotonin when we do these things. Now, also there are certain foods, my friends, that are known to deplete serotonin levels. And they basically interfere with how it is produced, let's say. Okay, so these foods that it is recommended we avoid include alcohol, caffeine. There's four of them. So number one, alcohol. Number two, caffeine. Don't worry, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Number three is artificial sweeteners like aspartame. So when I think about aspartame, it's diet drinks. So I used to drink a bit of diet tonic. I quite liked that. And I have since moved away from that and just stick with just plain soda water instead because it has that aspartame in it. Also, the fourth one here on my list is high fructose syrups, sodas, and juices. So basically high sugar concentrated foods, let's say. Now, let's just take a pause for a minute, okay? Because I love my coffee. I do, and I have no plans to give it up anytime soon. And I also love a glass or two of wine some evenings. However, if serotonin is something that you could be low in, that you could be really struggling with, then it could be worth reducing your intake of these things or even trying a period of elimination for 1 to 2 weeks just to pay attention to how you feel. Specifically, how it impacts your mood, your sleep, and your memory. Pay attention to that. I know for a fact that when I took a year off alcohol, I slept better than I had in a very long time, my friends. Like, there was no negative downside to eliminating that from my system for a year. Like, there were so many positive benefits to doing so. Right? Which is, you know, part of the reason why I choose to not drink a lot. I will have a couple of glasses a few times a week. Like, that's it at max. But it's about, you know, having this information and then deciding, is that something I want to try or something that I could look at eliminating or just making some simple changes in my diet to have different things to reduce my intake of artificial sweeteners or, you know, so much sugar. Now, I also know how sugar negatively impacts me personally. Like, I have played with this, and it was that sugar film that first drew my attention to this and got me very curious about the impact of sugar. And this was years ago, like I'm talking 10 plus years ago. And so I did the I Quit Sugar diet back when I lived in London, actually. And so that was like, I don't know, we're coming up 10 years, I think. So I know how much, you know, sugar negatively impacts my mood and my motivation and how it can have a very kind of depressive effect on me if I consume a bit, quite a lot of it. And it negatively impacts most, if not all, of my ADHD symptoms. But through trial and error and really paying attention, like, we can learn if that's the case for us. And so if we can eliminate some of these things, we can look at producing more serotonin in the process. Win-win. Another thing as it relates to food here is that eating late at night can also affect... I'm on a roll with the words today, my friends. Eating late at night can affect serotonin levels, okay? So what it can do is it can spike serotonin before we sleep, which can cause sleeplessness and challenges with our sleep, okay? And it can also negatively affect your natural serotonin levels, okay? So again, if you're eating right before bed and super late at night, it can negatively impact the amount of serotonin your body naturally produces and impact your sleep in a negative way. Okay. Number two on the list. So that was number one, eating healthy. Number two is probiotics. As I said before, it is estimated that 90 to 95% of our body's serotonin is produced in the gut. So what that means is that beneficial bacteria found in the gut, okay, it secretes substances used in the creation of serotonin, all right? Don't overthink that, because when I get a mental picture, it's not pretty in my brain. So basically, the research does tell us that if we consume foods that are rich in probiotics, okay, it's going to help us to increase good gut bacteria, which then positively influences the production of serotonin, okay? So in several recent studies, probiotic consumption was associated with fewer symptoms of depression and anxiety. Isn't that cool? That by, you know, changing some of the foods, and in this case, increasing the probiotic consumption that we have, we can reduce the symptoms of depression and anxiety. Okay. So probiotic-rich foods. We really are on a roll today, my friends. Stay with me. Some foods that are probiotic rich include yogurt, kefir. Now, I'm going to pause on kefir. Like, that's that like runny, milky, yogurty stuff that I used to think was gross and weird until I learned that if you are to pour kefir into a container and put a few tablespoons of, chia seeds in it, and mix it all in, and it'll kind of absorb into the chia seeds and make like almost a thick yogurty type thing. That is a great way to have it. So I would get, I think it was like a 0.5-liter bottle of kefir, and I would put about 6 tablespoons of chia seeds in it and mix it up. And that was fabulous. I did that for a little while. All right, back to the list of probiotic rich foods. So we had yogurt, we've got kefir, kombucha is another one, kimchi, sauerkraut, miso, and tempeh, okay? And you may also like to have a chat with your medical professional, your naturopath, whoever, about adding a probiotic supplement and, you know, discussing which one will be right for you and your system and the needs that you have, because there are so friggin' many out there on the market, my friends. Number three is changing your thoughts. When you think about something that makes you happy, you can boost your serotonin levels, okay? Every time I think about my cats, I feel happy. Just telling you right now about my cats and how freaking cute and delicious they are, I feel happy. I have a smile on my face, right? Sometimes I will be scrolling through my phone and I will see a photo of one of my cats like doing something cute or fast asleep even in some weird position. And I just stop and I stare at it. And for a few seconds, I literally feel my body like flooding with good feelings just running through my body. Have you ever noticed that when you stumble upon an old photo and like a happy memory, how it can change how you feel? Okay, isn't that cool? Now, admittedly, that can be hard for some people. Okay, it can be hard for them to think happy thoughts, especially for those of you who have depression. But there are several things that you can do to help yourself think more positively. Okay, for example, you could look at old holiday photos. I have an album on my phone, and I highly encourage you to do this, with my favorite memories. And every now and again, I will just go through and I'll add some new memories to that album. So you can make an album, label it favorite memories, and go through and select some photos that really remind you of beautiful, happy memories. Other things you can do, make a gratitude list, reach out to a friend, read inspirational books or watch inspirational movies. You can also recall a fun memory or watch a comedy show or a funny movie. We also have an entire podcast here on negative thinking. It's number 44, ADHD and negative thinking. Now, negative thinking drains us of our happy chemicals. Okay, it makes us less productive, and working on your negative thinking will literally change your life. Okay, this is a huge part of the work that I do with my clients, because so many of us are in this habit of negative thinking and beating ourselves up and focusing on all the things that aren't working in our lives, and you know how far behind we are and all the things we should be doing, right? Often without kind of realizing it. Many people have that habit of draining their own serotonin and dopamine tanks simply with the way they're thinking. And changing your thoughts, it is simple, okay? And once you know how to do it, and I can teach you, right, it will change your life. It will change how you feel, change the amount of energy and motivation that you have. I talk about this briefly in episode number 44. Right? And if negative thinking is something that you struggle with, then I am telling you that working with me or another professional trained in CBT or thought work, it's going to be a game changer for you. Okay? So that is number 3, changing your thoughts. Number 4, the fourth way we can increase our serotonin naturally is by getting sunshine. So when the skin is exposed to sunlight, it also converts those UV rays, right, into vitamin D. Now, vitamin D plays a very important role in the production and activation of serotonin. So there was a 2021 study that found increased sun exposure was actually associated with reduced depression symptoms in elderly women. God, what is it with my words today, friends? I know I'm not the only one. I hear from you guys all the time. You do this too. I love it. So again, I just want to recap that there was a study done in 2021 that found an increased sun exposure for elderly women. It reduced their depression symptoms. How fantastic is that? Okay. So enjoying just 10 to 15 minutes outdoors in the sun can produce more serotonin. It can boost our levels of serotonin, okay? And it also stimulates the body's circadian rhythm. Now, that's the internal clock that basically regulates our sleep-wake cycles, okay? So not only can getting that sunlight improve our mood and how we feel, it can also improve our sleep. Win-win. I'm here for that. So again, experts say that 10 to 15 minutes is enough to maintain adequate vitamin D levels in most people. Now, if that's not possible, if you live in a place where you can't get that sunlight during the day, or, it's the time of the year where it's just difficult, it's winter, what have you. You can also supplement it with vitamin D, okay? Now, one question I had and was really interested in when I was doing this research is, what about when you've got sunscreen on? So I am in a relationship with somebody who has experienced, you know, the negative effects of the sun and had to have many things cut out or burned off, okay? So when we go out, he is the person who is covered head to toe in clothes and sunscreen everywhere and a massive hat. Now, I will wear sunscreen appropriately, but I can also be out in the sun without it for about 30 minutes, sometimes more, and I love to absorb the sun and get it all over me, right? We're very different like that. So I was always curious, like, does he still get the same amount of vitamin D? Does he still benefit from that? Can he still absorb it when he's got sunscreen on? And the answer is yes. The body can still produce vitamin D even when you're wearing sunscreen. Good to know. All right, number five on our ways of how we can naturally produce more serotonin. This is one that I personally swear by. It is a huge part of my routine and how I am able to thrive with ADHD. And that is regular exercise. Okay, it is well known that exercise is good for mental health. All right, moving your body promotes the release of several of the feel-good chemicals, including serotonin, okay? And exercise hits the ultimate home run for us ADHDers because it increases all three of the neurotransmitters that we ADHDers have less of in our systems, and that is serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine, okay? Now, here's something really interesting in regards to exercise, okay? If you do too much exercise, right, if you abuse it and you know, put your body through a lot of physical discomfort in a very negative way, or if you feel forced into doing it, right, it may not have the right effect, okay? Recognizing that you are choosing to exercise changes its neurochemical effect. I do remember talking about this very briefly in the dopamine episodes way back. I think they're episodes 12 and 13 from memory. I've got two of them there. It's like a masterclass on dopamine where I was talking about how when we choose to engage in something we enjoy exercise-wise, the benefits are way more, right? The release of the dopamine, the serotonin, the norepinephrine is way bigger than when we, you know, sort of force ourselves to do something we don't like. So for example, I hate the rowing machine. If I had to row for 30 minutes, I would get much less of a return on that 30 minutes than if I spent that 30 minutes going for a walk. For example, I love to walk. I really enjoy it. Okay. Now, one of the biggest problems with exercise is that when people don't feel like doing it, they just don't do it. Now, often the reason they don't feel like doing it is that their serotonin or dopamine levels are low. And perhaps they'd rather, you know, grab a bag of chips and watch some Netflix. But what we're failing to realize in that moment is that by even though we don't want to, if we do want to, here's the thing, right? Like, I don't want to get up and go for a walk every morning, but I do want to because I know it's going to have a positive effect on me, right? And my brain's going to be like, nah, we could just sleep in and all of this, right? And I don't listen to that because I know deep down, even though I don't want to, I do want to. You see what I mean? So if we have, you know, a really strong kind of meaningful reason as to why we want to do it, even when we don't feel like doing it, right? When we know that it's going to produce the very things that are the reason we're still lying here in bed, it's different, okay? It's not the same as feeling forced into doing it and not getting that kind of neurochemical effect in return. I hope I'm explaining this right. But you know what? We're going to roll with it either way. I'm not going to listen back and replay it and say it all again. I'm just going to believe that you guys have got it, okay? So this is why I now choose to walk instead of run. So I've told you guys before, I walk twice a day. I have a little like exercise band, Fitbit type thing on my wrist, and it measures my steps, and my goal every day is 10,000 a day. And I choose to walk now because I can get myself behind walking. Like, I can get myself to want to walk. Whereas I used to run, and I used to run about 3 times a week, but it was a real mental battle to get myself to run, and it was negatively like impacting my body. And, you know, it was just so difficult. Whereas I actually enjoy walking. Doesn't mean I always want to get up and go for a walk, especially when the alarm goes off at like 6:30 in the morning. But I know that by doing so, even when I don't, air quotes, feel like it, I'm going to get the serotonin and the dopamine that I need to help support me throughout the day. Okay. So any type of exercise that you enjoy doing, whether it's walking or yoga or cycling or rowing, if that's your thing, it's going to help to boost your serotonin. And scientific research shows that there is a direct link between exercise and its antidepressant effect. And I can attest to that, my friends, especially the longer I have done it. So the more I have done this throughout the year, the more I have noticed the improvements regular exercise. And like, I do this every day, for example, like I have noticed the improvement on my mood, on, you know, like it says here, the antidepressant effect, on regulating my emotions, all sorts of things. Ultimately, when we exercise regularly, we are helping ourselves to improve our mood and lessening our ADHD symptoms. Okay, big win-win. So my friends, if you want to improve your mood, you want to feel better and improve all of your ADHD symptoms, then incorporate these 5 things into your life. Okay, number one, healthy eating. Focus on increasing your protein intake, especially those foods that have higher levels of tryptophan. Okay. Also, be mindful of lessening or limiting your intake of those 4 things that are known to deplete serotonin, and avoid eating late at night, right before bed. Okay. Number two, consume probiotic rich foods in your diet and focus on improving your gut health. Okay. Number three, change your thoughts. Think about things that make you happy and practice reframing your negative thoughts. Number four, get 10 to 15 minutes a day of sunlight. Or if you're not able to do that, take a vitamin D supplement. And as always, consult with your medical professional when doing so. Number five, regular exercise. Do something you enjoy. For 30 minutes, 3 times a week, more if you can. And even if you can't do 30 minutes, do what you can, okay? Any exercise is better than no exercise, and it will support you in producing the serotonin, the dopamine, the norepinephrine. Remember, it's the home run when it comes to ADHD. All right, my friends. That is the episode on serotonin, the things you need to know, and 5 ways that you can increase it naturally in your life. Huge love to you all. Take care. I'll speak to you soon. Hey friend, I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.